Well, I'm glad you are here today, and I'm going to share a message with you today entitled, Wired for Connection. Wired for Connection. Now, I want to begin by asking you a question, and I think you'll know the answer at the end of this service by the time I get through, but did you know that you were created for connections? See, God never intended for you and I to go through life disconnected first from God. He never, ever intended that. That is not His best. If you know of someone who is disconnected from God, that is not God's best, obviously. But you were also never intended to be disconnected from loving relationships with others. However, we live in a world and in difficult days where this is challenging for people. It's a real challenge. But the truth is, you are wired for connection. God put it in your spiritual DNA. He put it there, and it's up to us to recognize that and respond accordingly. Now, the word that best describes most people today is overextended. In other words, we have no margin, no space in our lives. Another person said it this way, we're burning the candle at both ends. And people often tell me that they are financially stressed and emotionally overwhelmed and physically exhausted and even spiritually disconnected. People who will be honest at times in certain phases in their life, they'll tell you that. One letter I recently received expressed a feeling that many share. It says, I know I cannot possibly continue at this pace much longer, but I have no idea how to change it. Have any of you ever felt that way? Come on, you can be honest this morning. Have you ever felt that way? Felt like, I just can't go on like this anymore. If you are ready to make some positive changes, beloved, I do have some help for you today. Is that some good news? I've got some help for you. If you really want some positive change, and I believe people really do want positive change. I think sometimes we're convinced that we can't make that positive change, but I'm telling you, we can. Now, I want to give you 10 reasons why you need to be spiritually connected. And primarily, I'm talking about connected with God, but how many of you know it doesn't stop there? Our connection with God is not enough. I'm going to talk to you and give you 10 reasons why you need to be spiritually connected to other believers in the faith. Number one, here's the number one reason, connections are the essence of life. Now think about this with me. Your body organs, your muscles and bones all work, and here's the reason they work, because they are connected. What happens when they become disconnected? They wither and they die. None of them, not one of your body parts separated from your physical body and the joining of it together and the connection can live without what the other body parts bring to it. Without connective tissue, you know what would happen? You would fall apart. Now, what is true of your physical body is true of everything else. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I'm going to read some verses to you, and I'm actually going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have a Bible and want to turn there, go ahead and do that. I'm not going to read all these verses, but I will make mention of quite a few verses here. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says this, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. Listen now, so it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews. Some of us are Gentiles. Some of us are slaves. Or you could put other cultures in there. You could mix it around. And some are free. But we have all, listen to this, been baptized into one body by one Spirit. Now this is a congregation of believers here that I'm speaking to this morning. There are other congregations meeting in various locations around our community and around the world. But we together collectively are the body of Christ. Though we meet in groups and congregations, we are all the body of Christ. And we have been baptized. When you become a Christian, what happens to you? You are baptized into, you are immersed into the body of Christ. Just like your body when it is being formed in your mother's womb. There are various parts throughout that process, through that 9-month process where things are being added to your physical being and to your emotional being. And then, voila, out comes 9 months later a pretty little baby. So it is with the body of Christ. Now he goes on in the next few verses there, in verses 14, 15, and 16. He says, if the foot says that I have no need of you, then there's a problem. My foot could have gotten mad at me today when I got it wet in the baptistry, you know, and said, hey, I'm wet, I'm cold, and I just don't want anything else to do with you guys. I'm leaving you. It is an impossibility. He says, if the ear says that I am not a part of the body because I'm not the eye, would that make it any less a part of the body of Christ? And then verses 17 and 18 go on and follow that line of thinking. Verse 19 says, how strange a body would be if it had only one body part. Now come on, let's be real. If you saw a person that was incomplete and you only saw one body part, come on, let's be real in the house of God today. You would think that is strange. Amen? You would think that's strange, just one little body part. I mean, you know, if I was up here and all I brought today was my hand, and however, that won't work because it can't be disconnected, you'd think that's really strange, wouldn't you? Listen to what verse 25 says. He talks about all these things. He talks about how all the members are important. Beloved, listen to me. Every one of you are so vital and so important to what God wants to accomplish in His world. And yet so many discredit themselves and say, no, I'm a nobody. I don't really have an important function. I can't do this. I can't do this. And all these things. And we disqualify ourselves from being a part of the body of Christ that has something of great value to offer. And we disqualify ourselves really by doubt and unbelief. Sometimes we think it's spiritual to not think very highly of ourselves, but folks, we should weigh ourselves in the light of God and His Son Jesus and what He's done for us. In Him you are complete. In Him you have been endowed with gifts and a personality that this world needs. Oh, don't check out on God. Don't say to the hand, I don't have need of you because I'm not the... Come on, because I'm not the eye and not an ear, I don't have need of you. Come on, folks, don't do that. Because every member of the body of Christ is valuable. Verse 25 says, this makes for harmony among the members. That is, if we recognize I'm a part of the body of Christ and we determine we're going to use what God has given us, this produces harmony. He says, all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. I'm so proud of this congregation and the ministry. I tell you what I really like is when I hear that someone has been transported to the hospital and I get there and there's already two or three other people from their small group there visiting them and ministering to them. I really get excited about that because we recognize that we are to care for one another. When one suffers, we all suffer. And when one hurts, we all hurt, whether we recognize it or not. Verse 27 says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, I want you to put your hand on your heart and say, I am a part of the body of Christ. And I want you to tell yourself, I am needed in the body of Christ. I am valuable to the body of Christ. Come on, stay with me. And I have something to offer to the body of Christ. Again, let me just say, listen, if you want to do a numbers game in this congregation, I would say, and we've thought about it, at least, listen to this, you preachers who are watching, you get jealous, at least 80% of this congregation is doing something to advance the kingdom of God in this congregation or a part of it or an outreach or something. I think we ought to just stop. We ought to just stand up and give God a big praise. That is not a numbers exaggeration. That is a reality. Come on, give Him praise. And so, friends, life is about connecting. God hardwired you for relationships and for connection. A disconnected life, here's what it is. It is a life that is merely existing. We don't want to just exist. That's one of the reasons that we're doing the small group campaign we're doing. People need to know their purpose in life. People are wandering aimlessly now, and they're crying out, can the politicians fix the world? No, they can't, but God can. Can the world ever be healed? Probably not in the state that it's in, because God said these things would happen. But guess what? God wants us to be connected in this hour. And listen to me. I'll preach just a little bit, folks. Right now is when we need to be practicing and doing what we know we need to do as Christians, because I don't have a good promise for you about where the world is going. I know people want you to stand up and just say, everything's great, everything is going to be good. If we're in the last days, which I believe we are, I really believe we're in the beginning of the birth pains, guess what? It's time for the Christians to rise up and do what God has said. And what is it? It is to love God with all your heart, and it is to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the plan of God, and that is the purpose of God. Number two, we were created for connection. Now, I want you to think about this. The pain of loneliness proves that God designed us for relationship. Anyone ever experienced loneliness and been depressed because you were lonely? Oh, let me tell you, this proves to me that God wants us disconnected. Or not disconnected, connected. Let me go ahead and point out this. How many of you know what this is? This is a toaster, and someone told me that if you don't, how does that go? I forgot. That was my punchline. I should have wrote it down. If you're not connected, you're toast. There you go. Okay, I'm going to get through this. How many of you know this toaster? Let me just go ahead and tell you, this toaster has toasted a lot of bread for the Jackson family. I mean, this thing is ancient. Thousands and thousands and thousands of pieces of bread have been toasted in this toaster. But how many of you know, and Tracy just said it's old. 32 years. This is how old this is. Still working good. But how many of you know, if I do not plug this into a power source, it is disconnected and it cannot cook my toast like it needs to be cooked? Beloved, listen, I could probably just stop right now and say, amen, folks. Get connected with one another, because if you don't, if you're not connected, guess what? You're toast. How many of you know your iPhone and all these other things can't play unless they have a power source? Thank God for, we don't have to have batteries, don't have to be hooked up to a lot of wires with our iPhones and iPods and every other iThing. But I'm going to tell you, somewhere or another, if you want your cell phone to work, and just about everybody's got a cell phone today, I'm telling you, if you don't plug it into the power source from time to time and get that battery charged up, you're going to be making a 911 call one day, and guess what? It's not going to work. Are you going to try to call your friend and say, what time was the meeting? And it's not going to happen. Folks, disconnection is not God's will, and it is not God's best under any circumstances. We need to be connected. I want you to listen to this. Studies reveal, most people won't believe this about America, but it is true. Studies reveal that Americans are among the loneliest people on the planet. And here's the reason why. It's our fast-paced lives that are catching up with us. It's true. Whether you believe it or not, that is an accurate study that I have read and is verified by a quality research company. And I say this all the time. We think about some of these countries that we refer to as third world countries or developing countries. Listen, I you know, it's like I get on a roll and I start talking about things. Let me tell you, I have been to Mexico where they literally live in boxes. And they are far happier than a lot of people that you meet in this blessed country. Why is it? Because they're living a simple life. They get up, they go hoe the garden, and they pray for a little bit of rain, and they go pick the fruit when it comes, and then they come home, and they're very family-oriented. They're very happy people. What? They are connected. See, you and I have a longing for belonging. Now, we may come to the place in our lives, I just don't care if anybody likes me. I have my opinions. I'm going to be who I am. And we may say we don't care. We do. Every one of us in our DNA says that we need to belong. Let me just tell you this. When people proudly wear brand name clothing? Or they cheer together at a sports event, or they wave their cell phones at a concert. You know what they're doing? They are seeking connection. That's what it's all about. Everybody cheering for their team. It's that unseen thing. It's not, I know we think it's about the sports. I know we think it's about our team, but it's really about connection. Life without connections feels empty. It's true. Life without connections feels empty. You ever felt that emptiness? Number three, love is the ultimate connection. The Bible says that the most important thing is that we love each other. Colossians 3 and 14 says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Now, if we're going to talk about love and we're going to declare that that is the number one thing, guess what? We've got to clothe ourselves. And folks, let me just tell you, clothing yourself with love is not a feeling. It is not an emotion. It is a commitment. First, to understand what God said about love and then carry it out. Too many people are waiting on an emotion. They're waiting for some lightning bolt to come and zap their heart and change them. Love is a commitment and it is a decision. And when we do it, there is perfect harmony. Is there perfect harmony in our world today? There's not perfect harmony because not very many people are walking in love. When Jesus was asked what's the most important thing in life, He said this, I want you to get it, folks. He said, love God with all of your heart. And then, as I've already stated one time today, He didn't say stop there with just a good praise service. Too many people stop with just a good praise service and a good worship service, and they don't go to that next place. He says, and then love others. Our worship is not so much about us, but it's about to get us ready to go and minister to somebody else. Jesus said this is what life is about, and I'm telling you, people are looking for it. Many of you are looking for the purpose and the meaning of life. It's about loving God and being in a relationship with Him and then letting that flow out of you into other people's lives. That's a good place to say amen, Pastor. Amen, Pastor. Love is the ultimate connection. Number four, connection helps us to understand life. In other words, they enlarge our perspective. Now let's be real today. Life can be a mystery. Any of you ever awakened or gone through a season in your life and you say, what in the world is going on? It can be a series of unrelated random events until you see the connections. Sometimes life can be like a jigsaw puzzle. The pieces must be connected for you to see the larger picture. Here's another one. Information is useless until you recognize how it connects to some part of your life. Beloved, when we are connected, we see the bigger picture of life. God never, ever intended for one human being to just trudge through life and then one day go and receive our reward. God wants us to see the picture, and you cannot, I say you cannot, see the picture of life and your own life and the whole thing that God wants to do in and of yourself. You know why? Because you're a hand. Or you're an ear, or you're a foot, or you're a toe, or you're some other part. You're the arm, you're the nose, maybe you're the eyes. You cannot, independent of others, really see the whole picture of what's going on. Do you understand that this is why people are going crazy today? You know why the world is about ready to revolt? You know why in some of these nations they are rising up? They want to know what life is about. They know life is not about oppression. We know that. Why are people in this nation getting so stirred right now with all that's been going on? Because we know it's not right. And you know how we see the real picture? We do it together. Number five, connection empowers us. Listen, people want to see the power of God demonstrated. But sometimes we want to see the power of God, but we don't want to get together in a unified and a harmony manner. It takes the body of Christ collectively getting together in a unified manner to see the power of God. That's the reason. Well, we pray, oh Lord, let us see what we saw in the book of Acts. Lord, let us see your great power in all these things. God says, it's real simple. Get together in harmony. Do it how I'm telling you to do. Gather up and you'll see the power of God. It's true. It works. It's amazing. Psalms 133 said, Oh, how wonderful it is. David was observing the 12 tribes of Israel. He said, how wonderful it is when everybody gets together in a spirit of unity. The 12 tribes were there. They were unique in and of themselves. But when they got together, he said, man, there is an anointing that comes on the people of God who come together in a unified manner. God will never bless and anoint disharmony. Never. He can't. It is not right. It is foreign to Him to bless disunity. And yet we keep saying, Lord, bless. We want Your power. And all God is saying is get connected. Get connected. Get the body of Christ together. Get the hands connected to the arm. Get the fingers connected to the hand. Get the ears and the nose and the eyes. Get them all connected and get them functioning together. And everybody get moving with God. See, folks, let me tell you why. When you and I bail out on God and say, I'm just unworthy, I'm no good. You know, that sounds so spiritual. Oh, aren't they so humble? They just don't want any credit for you. No, they're walking in doubt. They're walking in unbelief and probably spiritual warfare. Oh, I just don't have anything to offer. Yes, you do. When you buy into that, to me, you bought in one of the greatest lies of Satan that keeps you and I disconnected, and we need to be connecting right now. I mean, like never before. Are we on the same page? Number five, which I've already stated, connection empowers us. Power flows through connections. I've already given you the demonstration. A disconnected toaster can't produce warmth, which cooks the toast. A disconnected stereo can't play beautiful music. How many of you, one day you were going along, you was just going to turn on some beautiful music, and you couldn't figure out what was wrong, and all of a sudden you realize, doggone, things are disconnected. Got to get it connected. People are asking today, what is wrong? What is wrong? Why am I not happy? Why am I not fulfilled? Because we're living disconnected. We're living in this fast-paced world, disconnected. You need friends that you connect with around a spiritual purpose. Can I hear one more amen this morning? The first century church, beloved, which is our model. And I really believe God's blueprint. People say, how are you supposed to do church? How are you supposed to have church? Go read Jesus' life and go read the book of Acts and then go on to the epistles. But I really believe the first century church is our model that we're to go by. Let me just tell you, they were absolutely connected. They were connected one to another. They prayed together, Acts 1 and 14. They fellowshiped together. Acts 2 and 42 says, all the believers, listen to this, all the believers. All the believers. Those of you, listen, I love you, I love you, I love you. But those of you who refuse, you refuse to connect. Everybody's suffering because you refuse to connect. Ooh, it's hard preaching, preacher. It's the truth. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That wasn't where they stopped. And to fellowship. And to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and prayer. That's what they did. It's real simple. You want to know what the church is supposed to be doing? Devoted to teaching. The apostles' teaching. You need to be devoted to it. You need to be devoted to fellowship. That means regularly and consistently getting together in koinonia fellowship. And you're to be sharing meals with one another and praying together. You know why people are confused about church today? We've got all these extra things going on that God never told the church to do. And Lord knows when you cut some of them out, the ritualism and the tradition, it's like you've announced World War III. Church life was never meant to be complicated. I mean, a few years ago, what we did is an event would come up. We didn't do this to be rude or try to catch anybody. We just said, well, let's just see if we're doing this, and let's see if we don't schedule some of these things, if anybody says anything. Lo and behold, a lot of things we were doing would come and go for months and months and months. No one ever say anything. We realized, this must not mean a whole lot. People would be squawking if it meant a whole lot to them. But then on the other hand, when we said, now we're not going to do so-and-so anymore because we want to give you time and energy. We want you to have plenty of free time to go fellowship and to pray together and do these things. Let me tell you, it was like all hell broke out. We kicked over some sacred cows. Folks, we are more traditionalist than we realize. We are, please love me. Jesus will love me if you don't. We're more religious than we ever care to admit. Oh, we get so used to ritual. We get so used to what it was like in the 70s and the 80s. I tell you, good Lord. There's some folks still trying to recapture the 70s and the 80s. Even a few still trying to capture the 90s. And God is saying, my God, come on, people, catch up. I'm way up here. It's true. I love you. And if you choose not to love me back, Jesus will be my friend. I can always go home to Ginger. She will love me. That's our dog. She is my best friend. She's really not my best friend. And I know this church loves me, and I know you love my wife, and I know you love Pastor Jim and all the other folks who labor here. But I want to say this, folks, likewise, if you're spiritually disconnected from God, you lose the warmth and the beauty and the power and the direction that He intends for your life. The thing that concerns me right now, let me speak out of my heart for a moment. It happens so subtly. You get away here, and then you get away here, and you start backing out of this, and don't do that. And listen, it happens to all of us, but we have to recognize it. And that doesn't mean there's not a time to take a break from things. But I want to tell you, the enemy wants to get you disconnected here, disconnected there, and dislodged over there. And the next thing you know, you're out there. You've lost your warmth. You become critical. You become an analyst of what's going on in the world in a critical, judgmental way. And then you become critical and judgmental of other people. You've lost your warmth. Folks, we can't do it on our own. God never intended for us to draw away from Him or His people. Number six, connection keeps us growing. You see, knowing the right thing to do is rarely enough to keep you doing the right thing over the long haul. I want to repeat that again. Knowing the right thing to do is rarely enough to keep you doing the right thing over the long haul. I have good intentions, but if I don't have people around me when I get weak and when I get a little down or discouraged that are building me up and saying, come on, man, come on, you can do this, come on, we can do this. Let me tell you what happens. I lose sight of what's going on. Connections keep us growing. Every one of us need partners in life. Amen? I've tried that one time, Pastor, and just ended in problems. There's no relationship that's going to be problem-free. Yeah, I tried the church, you know, a bunch of hypocrites there. Oh, pfft. On that. Let's disconnect that one. That one needs to stay disconnected. That's a devil thought. I tried the church and they did me wrong. Like you, saint. We need to sainthood people who have never hurt anybody. You know, people who always, somebody's doing them wrong, but they never recognize, now I'm gone to metal, and the Lord says, get back over here. You know, they kind of carry this, they don't realize it. It's a self-righteous attitude. Well, I never offended anybody. Everybody else is always offending me, but I don't offend anybody. Hello. Good Lord. You never offended anybody. Okay, yes, Lord, I'm moving on. I've lost my place on my notes and everything else. Well, yeah, any of you ever felt like giving up? We all have. We all have. But that's the reason you need to be a part of a small group. It will help you to develop and it will help you to grow and it will help you to keep perspective in life. Number seven, connections help us balance our lives. Now listen to this. Memory is our connection to the past. Vision is our connection to the future. Awareness is our connection to today. Without connection to the past, here's what happens. We become rootless. And without a connection to the future, we become hopeless. And without connection today, we lose our passion. We become passionless. And without a connection to God, you know what happens? We become powerless. Folks, these are all common struggles that we all have. But what I'm saying today is we need to recognize the power of connection and recognize that every one of us are wired for connection. Number eight, connections increase our confidence. Here's why. We are better together. Again, let me reiterate. It doesn't mean we're going to be trouble-free and everything's going to be harmonious all the time. There will be issues. But the reality is connections increase our confidence. We're better together. The more spiritually you connected you are, the less you'll struggle with insecurity. Now, beloved, let me tell you, insecurity is everywhere. Let me tell you one of those areas that we don't really recognize. Let me tell you, the American culture is very insecure. It's the reason I got to have more, and it's gotten us in trouble. I've got to have more. I got to have a different car. I need a new home. I need this and that. And yes, God blesses and prospers His people with all kinds of good things. But when you birth this yourself, it's usually birthed out of insecurity. People who are insecure have all these walls up. They're like a cat that's, you know, on Halloween that's ready to defensive. It's true. And we all get defensive. We all go through these things. But connection increases our confidence. See, we gain assurance in knowing others have felt the way we do and have survived, by the way, and been victorious. When we recognize that there are people that are going through what we've been through. Folks, listen, there is nothing new under the sun. And the devil tries to get us to hide by ourselves and really beat up on ourselves and feel really bad about ourselves because we think we're the only one that's ever gone through that. You're not the only one that's ever been tempted, beloved. You're not the only one that ever succumbed to a temptation. And the devil says, "Why, you rascal," and calls us dirty and everything else. And suddenly when you get around some friends and you build these relationships, you recognize after a while, say, you've been through that? Why, yes, I've been through that, and I came through it, praise the Lord. You mean you have been that? Yeah, I've been tempted there before. Folks, let me tell you, the devil knows if he can get us disconnected, he's got us. He's going to do everything he can to get you disconnected. Do we all ever grow weary dealing with life? Yes, we do. But let me just say, hang on. Life, listen, the Bible says it pretty accurate. Life is like a vapor. Just hold on. You know, one time I used to know this lady that always wanted some diamond earrings. And she just decided, well, her saying was, "I'm just going to fake it till I make it. I'm going to get me some fake diamond earrings, but when the new ones come, I'm just going to put them in and no one will ever know." Hey, listen, if you can fake diamond earrings, just keep the old cheaper ones. They're just as fine and nobody will ever know. Listen to this. 9, connections make us more productive. See, your life's impact will be largely determined by the quality of your personal connections. Now, I'm not saying that you connect with everybody and anybody. There's some folks you do not need to connect with. You do not need to connect with people who have the same weaknesses you do or saying, "Oh, come on, man, it doesn't matter. You know, just this one time. Hey, just that one time will get you in trouble." It's a lot of that going on. "Oh, come on, don't be so spiritual. Loosen up. My God, it's just this one time." Just one time is all it takes. That's all it takes. And if you have succumbed to that one time, come on, talk to God about it, and let's get out of it. The sooner you get out of it, the better off you are. Amen? Amen. Connection. It makes us more productive. Now, if Jesus knew that His disciples needed some help, don't you think we should know that? Why do you think Jesus sent people out two by two? Jesus sent people out two by two because He knew one was going to be discouraged at some point. Somebody was going to have to lift him up. You need at least somebody to go with you in everything you do in ministry. Jesus said this, "Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in your midst." Beloved, listen, let's be real. You cannot do this thing called the kingdom of God and be productive and be what you need to be and live this warmth and this happiness and this completeness by yourself disconnected. Because, folks, there is the reality today. This world is unplugging from God. This world, and listen, don't get depressed about it. There's nothing you can do about what's going on in this world. You are fortunate that God believed you could stand this day in which you live in and make a difference for Him. But people are disconnecting from God today. They're disconnecting by the thousands by saying, "Hey, there are multiple ways to get to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life." Amen. Buddha will never get you to heaven. Nirvana will never get you to heaven. Meditation will never get you to heaven. I was talking to someone a while back, and they said, "But why are you Christians always against meditation?" I said, "I'm not against meditation. Psalms 1 says, meditate on the word of the Lord day and night, and you'll grow and you'll be strong. I'm not against meditation, but I'm not going to meditate on some weird object out there and try to get something to happen. You meditate on objects and things like that and start meditating, you know, on other things. Let me tell you what will happen. You'll open your mind and your spirit up, and you'll get really weird on us. And we laugh about that, but the weirdness I'm talking about is demonic influence. Beloved, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Understand that we are better together. We're more productive when we are connected. Come on, see the warfare that we are in, how the devil is trying to split everybody. I mean, he's working hard to split the Christians up. He's working hard to split marriages up. He's working hard to split the parents up from the kids. I mean, he's trying to split the governments up. He's trying to split the citizens up from the government right now. Come on, recognize it, folks, for what it is. We are not struggling against flesh and blood. It is against principalities and powers that still believe they're going to win this thing, though they are not. And we have to recognize that the way we overcome is through connection. And finally, number 10, we have to learn to connect. You see, making the right connection with God and with other people is neither natural nor automatic. See, where some of you are kind of confused, you're thinking, well, you know, they preach all this connection stuff and it should just automatically feel right. No, it doesn't. We've got a fallen nature, folks, that doesn't want to connect. See, listen to me. Some of you say, I don't connect because I just don't feel comfortable in crowds. No, you don't connect because it is not natural. You don't connect because you haven't realized this and it's not a revelation to you that power comes through connection. No, 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 no. See, no, no, Pastor, you don't understand. I don't connect because. We ought to say, I'm going to connect because of the wonderful things He does. It's not natural to connect. In fact, the very things that will make the greatest impact in the world are not natural, nor do they come easy or automatic for us. Preachers, stand up and preach. We need to be witnesses for Christ. Well, if I was to be a witness, then God would have given me a different personality and it would be easier. No, it wouldn't. It doesn't come natural nor automatic. Praying with a group of people, being with another group of people, does not come natural or automatic. See this? There, here again, here's another one of the ways the devil has deceived or messed with people. Something wrong with you. All these other people like getting together. No, they've just made a decision and they've grown in it and they've learned that it's better to grow together. It's better to be together. It's God's way to be connected. That's why we do it. That's why we do it. We're better together. And so we have to learn connection. And my friends, that's why God sent Jesus. That's why He sent Jesus to help us to be connected. And let me just say, He does not expect us to do this in our own strength, friends. There is nothing that we can do in our lives of any lasting value in our own strength. It takes the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God. It takes allowing God to fill us with His Spirit and give us direction in our lives. And then when He says, do something, we can do it. Amen? It's my desire. And it is more than just a desire. I believe it's a birth vision by God that this would be a church that patterns itself after the Bible. Don't all churches do that, Pastor? I don't think so. Acts chapter 5 and verse 42 says, "And every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message, Jesus is the Messiah." Here's what I want you to see in this. In the church and in the home, in other words, in small settings, that's God's pattern and that's God's plan. They didn't just come to church. They got together in the small group setting. You know what happens in that small group setting? You get to know people. And you get to be an encouragement to them. And you get to put something in their life. But how many of you know in the congregational setting, that really doesn't happen? You're looking at me sometimes, and then other times you're looking at the back of the head of somebody. We don't make disciples here. We get inspired to go out and make disciples and do what disciples are supposed to do. I have a real desire and a real burden and a real vision from God that I must tell you has not been easy to get in place. But I'll tell you, we are making massive progress now. You see, I think of the church this way. Our larger corporate gatherings is like a ship. Our small groups are like the lifeboats. This pattern and blueprint that I'm talking about is found all through the Gospels and through the book of Acts. In fact, the book of Acts covered about a 30-year period of time. And if you go study at the very end of the book of Acts, guess what they're still doing? They're meeting in the church. They're meeting in the synagogue, the church. And listen, they do it daily. And then they're still meeting in homes. Why, folks? There is something that happens when we get together in a small setting and get to know one another, let our insecurities drop, and get encouragement from one another that will never happen in any other setting or any other way. Amen. I will tell you this. I am hearing more and more good feedback from folks about how their small groups are really a blessing. We are hearing more and more every day and as the years go by of answered prayer in small groups. Let me tell you, just in our own small group, we've had significant prayers for our children answered. God answers prayer when we get together in a harmonious way for the purpose of advancing the cause of Christ and loving one another and helping one another learn a little bit more about God. Let me close by saying, and then I want to pray for you. Connection is the key. You are wired for connection. And that's the reason next Sunday I begin a message that kicks off our small group campaign, in which I want everybody to be a part of it. But before I talk about that, I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray for the fears, the schedules, all the things that seem to stand in the way of our being connected. Let me just say, we're making great, great progress. We've had about 60% of our congregation up to this point committed to a small group. That's pretty good. But I won't be happy until we get 100%. And I'll tell you, we've got a lot of good groups right now. We've got some folks who have stepped up to the plate and said, by faith, I will lead groups. Listen, I feel one more thing strongly from the Lord. I admonish you, beloved. I admonish you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Recognize the hour that we are in, please. Beloved, recognize you are needed. You are a part. Please recognize. Young people, you're needed. You're needed in these small groups. Please, beloved, I feel a strong urging of the Lord to appeal to each of you. You are needed in a small group. You've got something to offer. It's not all about me getting something. It's about me giving something. Giving something. And I know we all struggle. Do I really have anything to offer? Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Now, I want to pray for all of us right now. And let me just say, immediately after this service, Tracy will be, you know, right there by our board where we have all this listed. And you can look in the bulletin, but we want to help you. The reason I refer you to Tracy is she knows all the new dates and times when all these different groups are meeting. And here's what I would say to you. I would say if there's no group that's meeting at the time that is convenient for you, listen, open your heart. God may tell you, I want you to host a group at a time that's appropriate for you. And we've learned some things about hosting groups. We'll tell you how to make your group work, how to get it started right. There are some keys. If you don't start it right, it may not last. But I'll tell you some keys and some ways in which you can start a small group and host it. And don't, right now, just listen to your heart and don't listen to your mind that says, I can't do this. How would I fit this into my schedule? Well, if you obey God, God will make the schedule work. That's how it works. You just say, yes, Lord, I'm not going to get in my mind. I'm not going to just rationalize and reason this thing. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And again, Tracy can help you on that, and she'll be out by the board after the service and where we can talk about that. Amen. I want to pray for you, and then I have a few other things I want to say. Father, I pray in Jesus' name now, Lord, for everyone in the sound of my voice, folks that are even joining us by the internet on the radio, Lord, I pray that they as well will recognize a need to participate in a small group setting, Lord, with other believers. Father, I pray if there have been offenses or our hearts have been hurt or we truly feel like that our schedule is so out of hand that we cannot participate, Lord, help us right now. Help us to recognize that you're a God of power and might. You can cause a schedule to be changed. You can make a way if you tell us to host one. We can do this. Lord, put the we can do spirit in every person here. Lord, let it be transferred. Let it be transmitted into us. Father, clear out anything in our mind and in our emotions that would tell us we cannot do this or we're not up to the task. Father, I give you praise. And I give you honor now in Jesus' name for answered prayer. Can I hear you give God a faith praise right now? A good old hand clap of praise.